Our scripture lesson comes from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. People were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will never enter it." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A good friend of mine was telling me the story about her granddaughter. Her granddaughter, who has grown up in the Roman Catholic Church, and when she got to second grade, was preparing to receive her first communion. Now, if you've got friends or family, which you probably do in Mobile, who are Catholic, you know that that's a big deal, receiving first communion. It's an event for which oftentimes an entire family will show up to worship, to observe. Nice clothes are bought and worn just for this special day, this rite of passage. My friend's granddaughter was preparing to receive her first communion. She'd taken the class along with others to get ready. She was wearing a beautiful white dress for the day. My friend's granddaughter is a special needs child. And so she had participated in the class and had picked up and learned things in a little more unique way than some of the other children her age had. When it became time in the service for the children to come forward, to come and participate in the sacrament for the first time, my friend's granddaughter walked up amidst the important ritualized event, but she'd taken her shoes off for some reason. In the middle of what is a pretty formal affair, she had taken her shoes off. Her mother was embarrassed, very embarrassed. And so after the service was over, she came up to the priest to apologize profusely. She said, "I'm so sorry that my daughter took her shoes off in the middle of everything." And the priest said, "Jesus told us, let the children come to me. He didn't say they have to have shoes on." It's an important reminder. Jesus' words to welcome children, not just on our terms, but on their terms as well. Right now, we're in the season in the life of the church where our officers, our soon-to-be future officers, are being trained. We're meeting every Sunday morning during Sunday school in September and October, walking through who we are as Presbyterians and part of our history and tradition. It strikes me how important this passage of Scripture, this admonition to welcome children, has been within our Presbyterian family of faith as well, all the way from the start. From John Calvin leading the Reformation in Geneva, Switzerland, in the church, but also at the same time starting the first public school system there, so that all children, not just those who could afford a private tutor, but all children could be trained and learn to participate in society and to read the Scripture on their own. I'm reminded of many of those Scotch-Irish immigrants who came to these shores, spread westward into the frontier, bringing their Reformed faith with them. And any time they slowed down long enough to plant a village or a city, the first two things they built were the church and the school, so that children might be welcomed, not just into society, but might be welcomed into Christ's presence as well. Jesus is calling for us to welcome children to him. It's something that's become increasingly important in the life of this congregation as well in recent years. under the leadership of our Christian Education Committee and the outstanding work, especially by Anna Fulmer, we have been making strides both seen and unseen. From hundreds of children coming to our trunk or treat last year, and even more, I hope, coming this year, to some work maybe you haven't seen at all. Diligent work being done to create a child protection policy for all the children in this church family. Recruiting new Sunday school teachers. Continuing to shape our children's music ministry. Our vacation Bible school. Even just this very morning, teaching a class for parents to empower and equip them to read and teach the Bible to their own children. Not just within the walls of this church, but also as we reach out to those in our community. Just in the last couple years, we have taken serious strides to focus and hone in our mission and outreach to especially address basic needs of our local children. Whether it's serving as a big brother or big sister at E.R. Dixon Elementary School, a classroom volunteer at Mary B. Austin Elementary School, participating in the Backpack for Kids ministry that provides nutritious meals on the weekends for kids for whom the free school lunch during the weekday may be the only nutritious meal they have, to increasing our support and participation with the Alabama Presbyterian Home for Children. Just this last week, some of our youth and adults were on the fourth mission trip we've taken in 2016 to Talladega to the Presbyterian Children's Home. And in a few weeks, it's not too late to sign up to be part of the fifth mission trip that we will take to the Children's Home this year in November. Both within the walls of this church family and broadly within our whole community, this church takes seriously Jesus' calling that we welcome children not just to us, but to Him. That we welcome children to Him. And on this dedication Sunday, this story is one that is worth celebrating. But it's also important for us to acknowledge the sober reality that there is far more work to be done as we continue to improve the lives of the children in our community. Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Welcome them in." But then he goes a step further, maybe to a degree that we weren't expecting. Not only does he say, "Welcome the children in," he says to all the rest of us grown-ups that we need to become like them, to become like children ourselves. That whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child does will not enter into it. What on earth does that mean? To receive the kingdom of God like a child? Or as we say in other ways, to have the faith of a child? What is Jesus talking about? Well, there are a few things I think he's not talking about. When he says to receive the kingdom like a child or to have the faith of a child, he isn't telling us to turn off our brains. He isn't telling us to stop thinking critically, to stop learning in the faith. Anyone who's been around children knows they certainly never turn their brains off. They're constantly making connections at a faster rate and pace than most the rest of us. When Jesus says, have the faith of a child or receive the kingdom like a child, I don't think he's either suggesting that we try to pretend to return to some lost state of innocence where we were sweet little things who never did anything wrong, because that's also not true. Anyone who spent any time with children knows that to be a fact. They certainly are innocent when they're asleep. But when they wake up, they're just as sinful as the rest of us. Jesus is not describing some idealistic, sentimental return to childhood. Now, I think he's talking very real and very specific, even very literally here. these children, even as young as infants, were brought to him, physically carried to him by their parents or grandparents or others in their society. What does it mean to be like a child? It means to be wholly and completely dependent on someone else. A child cannot fend for themselves. They cannot provide for their own security or nurture. They can't provide even for their own food. They are dependent completely on the outreach and care of those older than themselves. When Jesus says, "Receive the kingdom of God as a child," he means receive it as one who is wholly and completely dependent on God, on God's grace. Receive it as a gift. The kingdom of God, as a child, receives a gift. Think about how children receive gifts. They don't immediately ask, "Do I deserve this? Have I done enough to earn this gift?" Do they say, "Now what strings are attached to this?" Now we learn that later in life, in the broken world. They receive it as a true gift. How many of us have seen on either the morning of a birthday or certainly Christmas morning the sheer joy that comes just in unwrapping a present? Sometimes it's more exciting to unwrap the present than to see what it actually is. We talk and laugh and joke about kids playing with boxes more than they do the presents that were in them. Maybe sometimes it's because the boxes are more fun than whatever those presents were. But I think it's also because the box is a reminder of the act of opening, the gift of receiving. That's what Jesus means. To receive the kingdom as a child, Lord. To receive it as one who has not earned a single drop of it, but is welcomed in nonetheless. Anna already mentioned in the time with the children the invitation to the kids to write down something that they are grateful for or thankful for. Something that they have received as a gift. That's not just a challenge for them, but for all of us this morning. Many of you, I hope, brought with you your time and talent forms and or your pledge cards. If you didn't, there are extra copies in every pew. If you're a visitor with us today, there are also note cards, blank note cards that you can find. And I want to invite you, following the sermon, we'll have a few moments of silence to write down either on the back of your time and talent form or on the envelope that your pledge card is going in or on one of those blank note cards. Write down this day one thing that you are truly grateful for that you know is a gift from God alone. Something you're truly grateful for that you know is a gift from God alone. Let me warn you, you might hear some of these thanksgivings repeated in future months in parts of our worship service. So factor that in if that's important to know. No names, of course, though, will be attached. After the sermon, please write down. And when it's time to come forward down the center aisle and place our time and talent forms, our pledge cards, our promises for the year ahead in this chest, I invite you to also bring those thanksgivings with you. Those tokens of your gratitude for what God alone has done for you. Because that's what stewardship, as Tim reminded us, is all about. It's about how we care for what isn't our own. How we pass on the gifts that we have received by living as giving people. One more story. A friend of mine is a pastor of a church up in South Carolina, and he told me this story about two children that got baptized in the church. Their family had recently joined. They had one child that was a newborn, an infant, and another that was about 3 or 4 years old. And when they joined, they wanted both of their children baptized. Well, baptizing the infant, we all know how that goes. Baptizing an older child, a little bit older, we do that as well, of course. But there's an interesting element introduced into that, which is that that child's aware of what's happening. And they have all sorts of thoughts and feelings about that baptism. And this child, the older brother in particular, was a little nervous. Not about the baptism, but about standing in front of everybody. He didn't like the idea of so many eyes looking at him. So right before the service, his parents had an idea. They gave him a gift. A little red bouncy ball. They said, hold on to this ball throughout the service. If you start to get nervous or anxious or worried, just squeeze that ball. Let it be a reminder that it's going to be okay. They wisely thought of a ball, not a big teddy bear, something that would be in the child's hand. Nobody else in the whole service knew this was happening, but they told the pastor. And so the kids came forward. The baptism went off without a hitch. Then the service was over. Everyone left the sanctuary. One of the ushers, though, waited to talk to the pastor. And he came to shake his hand, and he handed him this little red bouncy ball. And the pastor said, oh, I know, that belongs to Billy, doesn't it? And the usher said, I don't know. You know where we found this? In the offering plate. After the baptism, when it was passed around and they were reminded to give to God their gifts, this child took his bouncy ball, the reminder of his own comfort and security, what he had placed in the offering was a real tangible gift, a letting go of something else that he thought he needed to cling so tight to for his own security. Jesus invites us to receive the kingdom of God as a child, to cast off whatever shoes of social expectation we need to take off, to let go of whatever false sense of security it is that we cling to so tightly, to give to God the gifts that we have received out of pure grace from God alone. To God be the glory. Amen.